So we're adrift on 7 continents right now. And 225 million years ago, it was one single landmass identified as Pangaea. Am I saying that right? So tectonic plates.
Right.
So tectonic plates beneath and above the sea are in constant shift?
Yeah. The Earth's surface is made up of plates that are about 100 miles thick, and they slide around relative to each other at about the speed your fingernails grow. So if you think about having a lake with big chunks of ice floating around on it, that's kind of what it's like. The chunks of ice are moving next to each other. And so the big earthquakes happen at the edges of these things where they slide by each other. For example, the San Andreas Fault is the boundary between the Pacific Plate and the North American Plate, and that's why we regularly have large earthquakes there.
And the New Madrid Fault?
Well, there are a lot of older faults that are kind of like cracks inside the big chunks of ice. So they don't move very much, but they do move occasionally. The problem is that they got blown up out of all proportion, sort of they became urban legends. A lot of what you hear is pretty silly. Like, you'll see over and over again this claim from the government and so on that it rang church bells in Boston. Now, that absolutely didn't happen. In fact, nobody in Boston even knew about it. It didn't kill anybody. It didn't seriously injure anybody, probably. It did very minor damage in places like Louisville and Nashville and St. Louis. They had a few cracked chimneys. So these were good-sized earthquakes by the standards of the middle of the continent. But they're a lot smaller than people have been saying.
So what was the magnitude of the...
About 7, mm-hmm. Which is big.
And it's been seismically active since?
Yeah, probably what we've been seeing since then are aftershocks of those earthquakes. In fact, that's how we map out the faults that we think broke in 1811, 1812. We look at the distribution of small earthquakes now and say those are aftershocks of what happened 200 years ago.
So talk about how you measure, using GPS and surface markers, how the Earth moves.
The Earth is like a spring. It stores up energy, and then it releases it. So it stores it up for a few hundred years, for 1,000 years or so, and then it releases a big earthquake. So, for example, we've been known this for about 100 years now. So we'll go to places like the San Andreas Fault and measure the two sides moving as they store up energy for the next earthquake. Or we'll do that in Oregon and Washington, see the ground storing up energy for the next earthquake. We'll do that in Japan. We'll do that in Utah and Colorado. Do that almost anywhere you can think of. The way it works is we just use GPS, because GPS can measure a position very precisely. It's to better than a millimeter. That's the width of the letters on the dime. So we started doing this in 1990 at New Madrid to see if any energy was being stored up for the next earthquake, and the answer is absolutely not. The ground isn't deforming, so the spring isn't being squeezed or stretched. So it doesn't look like there's any big earthquake on the way anytime soon.
So why are FEMA, supported by USGS and others, the Great Central U.S. Shakeout, conducted last spring an 11-state drill where nearly 3 million people, Americans, over these states dropped, covered, and rolled?
Well, it turns out the political scientists have studied this a lot because New Madrid's fairly normal. That is, the government agencies are always coming up with these scares. You remember with Y2K, the world was going to end? People actually talk about the end of technological civilization, society would collapse. Then a few years ago, we were all supposed to go out and buy duct tape and plastic sheeting to protect our houses from terrorists. And a lot of people did that. Then there were people that we were told that SARS was going to kill everybody. And the last year, it was swine flu was going to kill everybody. There's kind of an institutional dynamic in bureaucracies to do this. And I've done some reading in this as I was preparing my book. And there's a great quotation from someone looking at these kinds of panics. His name is Mark Siegel. He had a nice book called The Truth About the Epidemic of Fear. And he said, "Bureaucrats use fear by playing Chicken Little. They can claim at every turn that a disaster may be coming, thereby keeping their budgets high and avoiding blame should disaster really strike." In other words, it's the dynamics of the bureaucracy that produces these things. It's not really any actual geologic danger. I mean, remember, as near as we can tell, no one in the Midwest has ever been killed by an earthquake. Nobody in the Midwest has ever suffered. There's been essentially no serious damage from an earthquake in certainly 150 years, maybe longer. So this is very, very different from California, where you have large earthquakes regularly, buildings are damaged regularly, and people are killed, unfortunately, every few years. This is really a totally different picture here.
Then the Center for Earthquake Research and Information, which a lot of people in Arkansas refer to, on their webpage, they have posted kind of a simulation of what would occur with a 7.7 earthquake occurring in northeast Arkansas. And it says the region's undergoing east-west shortening and ancient faults along the Real Foot Rift, which is beneath New Madrid, are being reactivated to generate earthquakes. What do you have to say about that?
Might be true. I mean, it's one of the many possible things that might be causing the earthquakes. We certainly have no reason to believe that we'd see a magnitude 7.7 earthquake. I mean, that's enormously bigger than what actually happened in 1811 and 1812.
And earthquakes in the central U.S. would feel much different than earthquakes on the far west coast, yes?
They shake further because the rock is sort of more solid. It's not quite as warm. So it transmits seismic energy better.
I've read that liquefaction is part of the process on the New Madrid seismic zone. So what is that exactly?
Well, if an earthquake happens and an area is made up of sand with a lot of sort of moisture in it, loose sand, then as the sand starts to shake, the grains lose contact with each other. So the stuff can be kind of soupy. And as a result, you could have like big, you know, what an old sand blows develop in the ground and so on. And that's actually how people look at the history of the past earthquakes in the area, is looking at areas that liquefied.
Talk about earthquake predictions evolving towards earthquake forecasting.
Well, okay. The U.S. Geological Survey and other U.S. government agencies spent a lot of money in the 60s trying to predict earthquakes, and it was a complete failure. So then they said, okay, what we can do is maybe we can make longer-term forecasts, and we'll make these hazards maps. These are like the maps that show that Memphis is as dangerous as San Francisco. And when you start looking at how well those hazard maps work, the longer-term forecast, they don't work really well. I mean, they got Japan wrong, they got Haiti wrong, they got Sichuan wrong. But right now, it's not at all clear that it's doing any better than more or less just guessing.
What is the future of the New Madrid seismic zone?
I think on some time scale, thousands of years, 10,000 years, before we have anything like what happened in 1811, 1812. Certainly in anything like the next lifetime of the United States, I don't think we should be worried about a big earthquake in New Madrid. It's really exciting, based on what we've learned from GPS, to try to get to the bottom of this. So in a sense, I think arguing over whether there's a big earthquake hazard in New Madrid is silly. I think it's pretty clear that there isn't, and there isn't anything like the problem in California. I think the exciting part is the science of trying to figure out how these earthquakes in the middle of the continents work.